Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Very humbled to be joined by D.C. Metropolitan Police Officer Daniel Hodges. He was there defending our nation's capital on January 6th. And I wanted to start with this basic level set. I'm not a police officer, and I've never served our nation's military. So I start with thanks to you and everyone who has done so in their past or continues to serve our communities and our country in that way. To me, January 6th looked like an emergency. Everyday DC life, a large urban metropolitan US city that will always have some degree of crime, that doesn't look like an emergency to me. Would you have preferred that Donald Trump deploy the DC National Guard on January 6th much earlier? Do you view January 6th as an actual emergency? And how does that compare to the deployment of the National Guard now and the so-called emergency that Donald Trump has used as the reason to send in National Guards men and women today?
Yeah, I would say that the insurrection on January 6th at the Capitol absolutely qualifies as an emergency to which the National Guard would be much better suited to assist than National Guard is. Instructed in riot control, and that's something that definitely would have been helpful to all those bodies. I don't know why they weren't deployed much sooner when it was obvious that we needed all the help we could get. And compared to today, when the National Guard is being sent from all over the country to just stand around, stand around on the Mall, stand around in Georgetown or Chinatown, all these high visibility, low crime rate areas. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why they're there.
Do you think that there is a misallocation of these forces from the federal government, be they National Guard or other federal law enforcement? There's been reporting from, I believe it was the Washington Post, kind of did a heat map. It looked like there was a lot of deployment in areas that, as to use your language, Officer Hodges, high visibility but low crime. I can't make sense of it.
Yeah, that lends credence to the idea that this isn't really about crime. This is about, optics, to use the preferred nomenclature. This is about what it looks like. This is about sticking it to a liberal city that hates Donald Trump. This is about, sticking it to the libs, which isn't really helpful to crime or crime reduction.
Officer Hodges, you've recounted on this program a couple of times, and folks will put the links to my prior interviews and discussions with Officer Hodges in our show notes for today. You've been described as a hero of January 6th. You nearly lost your life that day. You ended up isolated at one point in time before some of your fellow officers came to your rescue. So people call you a hero, and Donald Trump yesterday called himself a war hero. And I wanted to ask you, what does heroism mean to you? And is Donald Trump a war hero in your mind?
Well, first of all, I would have to say that characterizing me as a hero is extremely generous. I can't say I really agree with it, but that's part of the thing about heroes and society. As society chooses its heroes, heroes don't choose themselves. So I think that everyone would agree a big component of heroism is personal sacrifice, putting something or someone else ahead of your own well-being. And I don't think Donald Trump has ever done that in his life. Call himself a war hero when he dodged the draft. He hasn't fought in a battle. He hasn't fought in a war. He hasn't even been to basic training. So I think it's extremely disrespectful to our veterans, to actual war heroes, when he says something like that about himself.
Folks, again, if you're just joining us, that is D.C. Metropolitan Police Officer Daniel Hodges. You, as a D.C. Metro cop, you see protesters of all stripes, of all backgrounds, from all over. As folks are mobilizing across the country, as folks are engaging in greater numbers of protests than we've seen in a long time in this country, do you have some advice for people that want to engage in lawful and peaceful, responsible protests?
Sure. Know your rights. And exercise your rights responsibly is really the summation of it. You're allowed to record the police, but you know, please do so from a distance that allows law enforcement to do what it needs to do. If you know you're holding your phone up to my face like this, it makes it really difficult for me to do my job. But I want you to be able to, you know, practice your rights. So you're free to film me, just, you know, take a few steps back, please. And if you find yourself being subject to arrest, or you feel like your rights are being violated, document everything as best you can, but don't fight on the street. You win the fight later in court. But you're not going to win the fight on the street. So, you know, if your rights are being violated, just do your best to document and go along, as best you can with what's going on, and then try to win the fight later on at court.
One last very brief question. We've got about 30 seconds, Officer Hodges. Do you think it unusual or not a good practice for law enforcement officers to have facial coverings and refuse to identify themselves or their agency?
Absolutely not. It's seeing these people out here just grabbing brown people off the street with no identifying badges, no identifying agencies, masked up. As far as I'm concerned, that's armed kidnapping. And if I saw that taking place, I would treat it as armed kidnapping until they were able to prove their lawful authority to conduct an arrest and their lawful, their status as a sworn law enforcement officer.
Folks, that's Officer Daniel Hodges. Thank you, Dan. We continue our discussion of what a real hero